Blog Talk Radio.
One, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. And yes, the music here today has to be my favorite music. And the reason I put it on is only because I wanted to listen to it. But if you want to hear more of this band, it's newbornband.com. And that's where you can hear all their other music, which if you like this song, you like the other one. Today we're doing a special broadcast on our Sunday morning live. You will be able to listen to it in our regular time on Monday at 7 o'clock. But if you're listening now, enjoy it, close your eyes. It's going to be one of those beautiful Sundays where you want to sit in front of the fireplace and listen to this wonderful music. Our guest today is Herman Oatman. He's an actor and a performer. You guys are going to love hearing from him. He graduated from a school in Amsterdam called Utrecht School of Performing Arts, and I'm sure I'm not saying Utrecht correctly. He worked as a film and theater actor, and he also appeared in the radio lots of times. But now he's doing something stronger, bolder, and more powerful because he's helping people overcome one of the most feared things in life, which is public speaking anxiety. In case you don't know, public speaking happens to be more feared than death itself. He motivated over 1,000 people to improve their public speaking skills. He works with the Dutch Marines in the Department of Neurology and the Amsterdam Academic Hospital, plus other companies. But now he's coming to New York City, and he will be giving group training classes on how to overcome public speaking anxiety. Welcome to Tippy Talk, Herman. Good morning.
Good morning, Tippy. That's a great introduction you gave there.
Well, it's the truth, and it's what you're doing. And the truth is, being an actor is beautiful and awesome, but taking it to a point where you can actually help people with skills and anxiety is so much more powerful because you're giving of yourself, of your skills to other people. Is that kind of like how you feel about it?
Yeah, exactly. That's really how I feel about it. I graduated from acting school in the Netherlands, in Utrecht, like you told. I loved it a lot, acting, and I still act in the Netherlands sometimes. But one day people asked me if I would like to give a public speaking training. I think back in the days it was for a lawyer company. And I said yes, because I also like teaching a lot. I teach acting also. And what I like about teaching acting is that I really found a way to put people into their own power. So to feel comfortable when they're in front of groups, to feel strong and confident. And I developed a lot of techniques how to do that. So when I went to the lawyer company and I learned lawyers how to plea in front of the court, it went really, really well. And I really enjoyed doing it. And it went so well that they asked me back, and other companies asked me to do public speaking classes for them. And then I developed my own technique, and I'm now working with a lot of people. I'm working with people who are very anxious about public speaking. They don't sleep at all before they have to do public speaking. And I work with people who are already very, very good and want to be better. So, and everything between. And I work in Amsterdam and now also in New York City. And in a few months, I will go also to Nepal to work there with children. So all kinds of, all sorts of people I work with.
I don't think I said your name correctly. I said Herman Oten. Can you tell us your name, how you pronounce it, like originally?
Herman Oten. That's
Now that sounds like your real name.
Yeah, but here in New York, we all say Herman Oten. So I introduce myself as Herman Oten because then New York people can pronounce it better.
That's true too. But I think it's more powerful when you say it originally the way it sounds. It sounds like a very powerful name. And somehow, when it's translated into the English accent or English version, it kind of waters it down a little bit. That's why I wanted to hear you say it in your, you know, the way you say it. It's really beautiful. It's amazing how an accent can do so much just to one word or two words.
Yeah, it is.
And so... So you spend most of your life in the Netherlands or in Amsterdam. What is it that brings you to New York, which I'm very glad you came to New York, but what is it that brings you here?
Well, I have my own public speaking company in Amsterdam, and that goes really well. Like you told, I teach a lot of companies group training, and also I have my own individual apply training, so people can apply on an individual basis for group training. I like it also very much. And I thought, well, I love New York City, and I've been here a lot of times just as a tourist. And I liked it so much here that I thought, well, maybe I can do it in English. But I was very insecure because I have to work on my English for sure, and I have an accent. So I thought, well, I don't know if I can do it, like, in a different language. But then one time I was in Amsterdam, and I was asked to do a public speaking course at the Amsterdam University. And 1 minute before I had to give the course, someone came up to me and he said, well, you have to do it all in English. You knew that, right? And I said, well, I really don't. He said, yeah, there are international students, but I think our communications wasn't that good. So if you don't know it, well, sorry, but you have to do it in English. And I did it in English and it went quite great. So I thought, well, why not try it in New York City? And they say if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. So it's a big challenge for me. So I did a few meetups here, and I trained groups. And, yeah, I love doing it. New York people are very open and very energetic people. I love working here. So that's why I went to New York.
Ah, yeah. Language skills in New York happens to be a little bit easier than if you would go to Indiana or Texas, because most people in New York have some kind of an accent or some kind of other language that are more comfortable with.
The melting pot. There are so many people here and from all different cultures and countries.
At what point did you decide? Like, for sure you wanted to be an actor probably for a long time. Didn't you want to be an actor as a child? Was it something that you always wanted to do?
Well, yeah, I was a difficult kid when I was a child, so I wasn't doing very well in high school. And the one thing I could do was to act. So, and I was a more artistic person, I think. I like to play the piano and like to act a lot. So then at a point I didn't know what to do with my life. I thought, well, let's apply for acting school, but the auditions are very, very hard. But I did, and finally it went through. So I could go to the acting school in Utrecht, and I studied there for 4 years. And it was a very, it was a great education, also very hard. It was long days from early in the morning till evening, like 5 days a week. But I learned a lot, and especially what I learned there is how people behave when they're on stage. So everyone is different when they're upstage compared to when they're just sitting in a chair looking or walking around in a normal world, in life. And people change immediately when you go up to the stage.
You yes. see
they walk different, they talk different, their breath goes up or their heartbeat changes. Everything changes. And mm-hmm. I discovered in acting school already that the best thing that can happen is that the real world is coming on the stage. So that there's no difference for someone if he's on stage or if he's just walking, doing groceries or doing the laundry. That he forgets himself and that he sees what he's talking about and sees the other persons on stage. So, and that's a big difference for people. And I discovered that when I do that with non-actors, they can develop in a very short time very good public speaking skills.
Yeah, so it sounds like you were fascinated with the stage presence even while you were doing your acting, which, of course, you have to learn how to be a stage presence as an actor. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
So what made you change from wanting to do just acting to want to teach people how to have a better presence on stage?
Yeah, well, it's on acting school, and they were right about that. At the moment, I disagree with them, but now I agree. They always said, well, they like me as an actor on acting school, but they said you are more interested in people than you are interested in acting or being an actor yourself. And they were right about that. They always have a sort of curiosity about why people do what they do and how they change and how you can change people very fast and let them achieve their goals. For example, be happy when they're on stage and do public speaking. So, and acting I liked a lot. I worked 2 years as a comedian. I had my own theater show. But in the end, I thought it was too one-dimensional. So when I'm upstage and I'm giving my own performance, I like being in the spotlight, especially also when I do public speaking training. Sometimes I make jokes and I tell stories, and that's really something I like. But only being in the spotlight, telling stories and jokes, it's too one-dimensional. I really want to work with people. So when I'm talking about like 5 or 10 minutes, I think, yeah, now I want to work with people and also see other people doing it and be in my power to help them be the best public speaker they can be at that moment and make them forget their anxieties. And so when I graduated acting school, I become really interested in the human mind. So I read a lot of books about it, all kinds of techniques, and that's really how I sort of integrated my interest of the human mind and psychology with acting. And if you combine those two aspects, I found that public speaking classes are a great way to do that, to really benefit from my talents of seeing people how they are and how to put them in their power, and my 4 years of acting experience.
I love what you did. And there is a growing class of people, actually. You said something really, really powerful and really profound, and that is that you had more interest in people than in acting. And
yeah.
The reason I'm saying it's really powerful is because that was your personal interest. And I used to think that everybody was more interested in people than in whatever it was that they were doing, but it's not everybody. It's a very specific kind of personality. And the reason I love it so much even more is because I had the same thing happen when I was selling real estate. I found that I was more interested in the people than in their houses.
Yeah.
So I was working with people at a time when they were losing their houses, and I started looking at the psychological aspect of what it's like to lose a house. So it sounds like, and that's how I transitioned from being a real estate agent to being a coach and helping people deal with the situation. So it sounds like that's what you did. You love acting and you love presenting yourself, and let me just tell everybody, I went to one of your presentations. And you give a very powerful presentation. Not only that you deliver a powerful presentation, but also the people that you work with, you have this the sense, the ability to pick up on what it is that they're weak on right away. And that's a gift that not everybody has. If you if you can watch a lot of people, but picking up, you know, if you do this, it would be better, and picking it up so quickly and being able to tell people what to do about it, that's a really, really strong skill, and that comes because of your interest in working with people. It, it's not something that you, that somebody can teach you to do. Is it something that you learn or something that you do naturally?
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. You did a really good job at my public speaking class, actually. I love working with you. It was a great day. Well, it's a combination. So a lot of people think, yeah, I'm born with it, or I have a sort of sixth sense to work with people. Of course, you need a sort of talent of seeing people, and that's really, really true. But only born with a talent to work with people, or it's not enough. You have to train. So you can't just say, well, I'm curious about people, so let's do group sessions with people who have anxieties, for example. So my talent really got a new ground was on acting school, because then you transform it to also techniques. So what you also discovered is that how I work is very technical. I never give vague instructions. So I will never say to someone, for example, be more powerful or be vulnerable or I want you to ground. You know what I mean?
Right.
I would never ever say that, because people really don't know what to do, and people get insecure. And so the only things, like a director, the only things I say to people are very technical, like turn your head, or I want you to turn up your voice, so you have to scream or talk louder, or, for example, lean a bit forward on your feet. And it sounds really simplistic. How I work is really simplistic, but you have to know, you have to see what someone needs. You cannot say they're not rules that are basically for everyone. That doesn't exist. Someone needs to turn their head more. Another person needs to lean forward. Another person has to raise their voice in volume. And then a whole different worker. Someone has to turn their eyes up instead of down. So when you give those technical instructions, people who have anxieties and want to get rid of their anxieties have to work like that, because a lot of people I work with have never heard that kind of techniques, have never heard that kind of instructions. For example, they talk a lot with therapists, for example, and they talk a lot about their life, and they say have to be vulnerable and use a lot of vague language. And a lot of times people don't know what to do after. They think, yeah, I think it was good. But if you ask them, well, when you do public speaking again, or are you again in the social environment or having a meeting at your work, are you not afraid anymore? Do you enjoy it now? And a lot of times they say, well, no, I'm still afraid. And that's because they basically don't know technically what to do. And if you teach someone what they have to do technically, then they get a sort of basis on how to do public speaking the next time, and they actually will enjoy it. So, but to know the techniques and to know what someone needs and to make a connection, that for me it was years of practice. It was my own interest in humans, in people's psychology, 4 years of acting school, and then training like thousands of people to know for each individual within a few minutes what he needs to improve upon, and then make a very fast and a change and a transition in someone's behavior on stage.
So basically what you're saying is talent plus training equals super talent. Is that really what it comes down to?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying. You cannot only trust on your talent, because talent is something vague. No one has a real definition of talent. It can be anything. Talent is not an absolute thing. Talent is also very relative. Like when you have a bit more talent than all the other people, you're talented. And when you have less talent than all the people, you're not talented. So it's such a relative thing, talent. So I know a lot of people who really couldn't do public speaking. And when I worked a few days with them, they became really, really good. And other people will say, wow, he's talented. But he wasn't talented 2 days ago. So I think I can learn everybody how to go up stage and be a talented public speaker. I can, but you have to know that you have to know what someone uses and needs to be talented. So I think you can learn to be talented. I don't think people are just born with it. I don't believe in it. No.
Right. That makes sense. It makes sense. So some people do certain things naturally, but without training, you really can't make it into a cohesive
exactly.
thing. So, yeah. So what you teach people is that is really to go up there and not be afraid anymore. And what you said is that people are not afraid anymore after one day of training. So explain how that's possible, that people are so afraid of it, and then after one day of training, that's it. They're not afraid anymore.
Yeah, it's because, I want also to say something about the first thing you said, about the talent. What I always think it's interesting, that people who say, yeah, well, I'm just born with it. I have this talent. It's very vulnerable because if you take away the talent, or it can be in their lives at one moment that they cannot do it anymore. So, for example, you have the guys who cannot talk to women. They are very afraid of talking to women or seduce women in the bar, and you have people who are just born with it and they talk to girls and all the girls like them, for example. Well, I've seen guys who really couldn't do it, but when they are learning how to do it, you have those techniques, all the books and the trainings, and I don't do it actually, but I've seen a lot of it. If they make it technically, so they can, on a technically base, know how to do it, they can do it always. And people who are always just really don't know what they're doing, they just do it. Well, it can be in one moment of their lives that they think, well, I cannot do it anymore, and I don't know why. And then they don't have any techniques to fall back on, and people who learned it actually from a ground base, they cannot fall back because they always have the techniques of how to do it. And that's exactly the same with public speaking. I've met persons who say, well, I was always a great public speaker, but all of a sudden I was standing in front of an audience, of board members, for example, in a meeting, and I blacked out. And since ever then, I cannot do it anymore. And it's very, very bad because they don't have any techniques. They don't really know how to get themselves back on the track. And that's why I'm working. That's why I help them. And it can be very fast, like you say. I can help people with one day. Well, you experienced it actually yourself. You were at my class. And there were people who changed immediately, like not even in a day, but sometimes in 5 minutes, because it has everything to do with the visual system when you are in front of the stage. So I always work with the things you are seeing. So when you are upstage and people are looking at you, there basically are three things that you can see. You can see the audience when you are in front of the stage, and that's the real world around you. And you can see the, for example, the walls and things laying on the table. For example, the listeners right now, when they are at home, they can turn their head, look around, and see everything in the real world. They can see the walls, the table, maybe a television. And if you see that when you're upstage, there's no need to be afraid at all, because no one's pointing a gun at you. No one is trying to hit you. So the real world is just okay. That's the first thing you can see when you're in front of an audience. The second thing you can see when you're in front of an audience is seeing the movie in your head, what you're talking about. So, for example, when I'm upstage and I'm talking about a holiday, I'm talking about that I was, for example, in Thailand and I traveled there, I see the images inside my head. That's the second thing you can see. The third thing you can see when you're in front of an audience is that you can see yourself through the eyes of the audience. And that is where always the problem occurs. That's when you're up the audience, you don't see the audience anymore, you don't see the things in your head that you're talking about, but people sometimes seeing themselves. And they don't know how to move anymore, they don't know how to move their hands, their breath goes up, their heart starts pounding, they are started blushing. So when I teach people how to make a connection with the real world. So, for example, I ask them, do you see all the hair of the people? Do you see all the shoes? Do you see the things laying on the table? They make a connection with the real world again, and they don't see themselves. So it's sort of an attraction, no, the
It's definitely what you just did is you basically gave away one of the secrets to experience your presence when you're standing in front of people, because if you know, if you're aware of what you can see, and that's really powerful, because we did do that, and when you stand there and you look on the outside and you look at you now, where are you at, rather than be inside your head, and you can be in a very scary place inside your head, but that's a place that doesn't really exist. That's one of the big secrets of standing in front of people without fainting, without like losing it completely.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I do a lot. So, and a lot of people think, yeah, well, when I'm up stage or in a meeting and I'm talking and I see myself and I'm very afraid of what people think about me, for example, and I say, well, just turn your view outside yourself and look around, look at the colors, look at the movement. Some people say, yeah, well, it's just a distraction, my real fears. But basically, that isn't true. That isn't the case at all. Your fears inside your head is a distraction of the real world. So it's the other way around. So it's very important that people realize that when they're upstage or in social environment, that they always can focus on the world around them and look at the world technically. So see the colors, see the things laying everywhere. And see, when you're talking, the things in your head. So when I'm talking right now, somewhere in my head, I see a movie about what I'm talking about. I don't see myself. When I see myself right now talking to you, I can completely black out because I don't know what to say anymore. I think, what should I do with my hands? How do I sound? What does Tiffy think about me? And what you think about me or what listeners think about me basically has nothing to do with me. But it's only to do with the people thinking about me. So when you're upstage, do not ever ask yourself the question what other people think about you, because you will never benefit from it. First of all, you don't know what people think about you. And second of all, it has nothing to do with you. It has only to do with the people looking at you. So the only thing you have to do when you're upstage is seeing in front of your eyes what you're talking about. So, for example, like I told you, if you talk about a holiday or you talk about a business, try to visualize the things you're talking about. And then look at the audience and see everyone sitting, see the world around them, and never ever look longer than a few seconds right into people's eyes. That's also very important, because through the eyes of the other people, people always tend to see themselves instead of the images in their head.
Right. So that's another big secret. Don't never look at someone for more than a few seconds.
Yeah.
Because that also distracted. But I wanted to go back to something really important that you said, and you said that some people say to you that that's just a distraction. And really, it's not a distraction. But even if it was just a distraction, it's a damn good distraction, because it does take you out of your own head and it puts you at ease. So why not?
Yeah, absolutely. That's really the case. It's very important that you always, that you're not focusing on yourself. A lot of people say, well, yeah, I have to work on myself, for example. And basically, it never works. If people start working on themselves, I never see a change, never, ever, because they're looking at themselves, and then your subconscious can change. But if you focus on the world around you and, for example, work on your goals and know what to do, it's a real different level of working on yourself, basically, sort of paradox.
Right. So instead of working on yourself, you work on what it is that you want to deliver. Work on the message, work on the images, work on the actual work, rather than working on your insecurities. So what you're saying is, if I focus on my insecurities, then I bring out my insecurities even more, not less.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you always focus on what you do want to achieve. So when someone comes to my class and I ask someone, well, what do you want to learn today? And someone says, I don't want to be afraid in front of an audience anymore. I always say, well, you can never do that. It's impossible not to be afraid in front of an audience, because when you're trying not to be afraid, you will be afraid. Don't think of a black cat. You will think of a black cat. So what you can do is teach people what they can do when they're in front of an audience. You can teach people how to look around and to know what they really want to say to the audience. And then they're not afraid anymore, because they have a bigger need than their anxiety. For example, I once had a woman in my group, and she was very, very afraid of public speaking, but she also was very afraid of talking to people in general. And she said, oh, I would never, ever talk to someone. Never, ever I would talk to someone on the streets, she told me. And mm-hmm. I said, well, I don't think that's the case. And she said, yeah, it's really the case. I would never, ever go up to someone on the streets and say, hi, how are you, or talk to someone. And I said, well, okay. And she had a kid. She had two children. And I said, well, okay, what if your children are sleeping in your apartment and you go outside the building to do some groceries, and you turn around and you see that your building is on fire, and someone walks around with a fire extinguisher. So what if someone walks
by?
Fire
extinguisher, yeah.
Yeah, with a fire extinguisher. Would be afraid to that person. And she said, well, no, I wouldn't be afraid. Of course, I definitely would run to the people and say, can I please get a fire extinguisher, because my house is on fire. So, and I said, yeah, that's really also with public speaking anxiety. You have to have a goal that's bigger than your own anxiety to cure your anxiety.
You get out of your own head and your own fears. Now you're in a state of emergency or a state of need. You're going to approach someone that you don't know and ask for it. That makes sense. So, yeah. So basically what you're talking about is a few different things about public speaking, and a few different, you're talking about the techniques, which is very powerful. You're talking about the psychology of it, which when you reshape the way you look at it, you automatically are going to change it. And you're talking about the personal message of why do you really want to do it. And those three things in itself is very powerful, and it's enough to let anybody that wants to improve their public speaking, even if you're not that much afraid, but you just want to make it better and more powerful, then you can really help them take it to the next level, because you can still take wherever someone's at and then take it up a notch to the next level up. It doesn't necessarily have to be someone who will never talk to anyone they don't know, or someone that has really got a huge problem. It could be someone that has a small problem. It doesn't matter, or a big problem, just to make it better. So I think that those three things in itself is very powerful, and you probably have a lot more to offer than those three things, because you offer more than just a two-hour class, right? So why don't you explain exactly what you offer and the people that would want to come to you?
Yeah, well, I practice now a lot in New York City, and I get great reviews about the class. So now I'm organizing a full-day weekend like I do in the Netherlands. So in the Netherlands, I work with like around 6, 7, or 8 people. So I really like small classes. And I work 2 full days with them. So I'm organizing now a full-day weekend here in New York City in the Shatter Studios, Saturday and Sunday, for people who will join my public speaking class. The dates are not set yet. I have to figure some things out, which dates will be possible. But on my website, publicspeaking.nyc, you can apply already. You can sort of pre-register. And then I will put you on a list. And at the moment, I have my dates. I know when the dates will be. Then I will send an email to the persons that pre-register.
As far as your reviews are concerned, you definitely have a great review from me. I think even the two-hour presentation that you did is very powerful. And really, I would recommend it to anyone who has any interest in any kind of message or anything that you want to do in front of more than one person. But also about personal interaction between other people, even if you're not going to do public speaking. These are psychological techniques that will help you even on a personal level. So, yeah, you definitely have a great review from me, and you're definitely, definitely worthwhile. If you get so much benefit out of a two-hour class, you can imagine how much benefit you would get from an entire weekend class. So I think you're wonderful, and I really appreciate what you do. Thank you so much for doing that. That is really amazing. What is your website? Why don't you spell it out so that it'll be easy to go? You also, I will also post the link to the website right below if you're listening on the internet. There will be a link to the website. There will be a link to the Facebook and any other links that you can give us. We will be right here below. You can go to that, and
The website is publicspeaking.nyc, so it's very easy to remember, publicspeaking.nyc, and people can read a lot about my course and read about reviews that other people wrote. So I think reviews are always very important, especially in these kinds of classes, because there are a lot of classes about anxieties, public speaking, self-development, but I always think, well, the one with the best reviews has to be the best, because it's only a good class if people say, well, I'm not afraid of public speaking anymore. So if someone is still afraid of public speaking after a class, it wasn't a good class. So I always want that people will enjoy public speaking after my class. They not only saying I'm not afraid anymore, but that they say I really enjoyed public speaking. Enjoy speaking up when I'm with people to hear my own voice, and that's the highest thing I can achieve, if they really start liking.
Wow, that sounds great. That sounds great, Herman. Thank you for what you're doing, and thank you so much for coming on to the Tiffy Talk. If anybody has any questions, how do they contact you other than your website? Is there any other direct email address, something that you want to give out?
Well, I can just fill in the form on the website on publicspeaking.nyc, when they leave their email there, I will reach out back to them. You can also click on the contact button on the website.
Yeah, so very simple. You can just go to the website. It's one location, one contact point, publicspeaking.nyc. And you get everything you need. You can get to connect. You can ask questions. You can do whatever you want. So thank you so much for coming to New York. We're looking forward to having you come back. And you definitely will let us know when, what, where, so that we can let everybody know. If you have any questions for me and you would like to comment, please comment below. If you have anything that you want to email me, it's tippytalkshow@gmail.com. That's T-I-P-P-Y, talkshow@gmail.com. You can feel free to email me. You can go to my website, which is tippytalkshow.com as well. And that has been a very interesting and very informative half hour or so that we've talked. I welcome everybody to join us. And Herman, thank you. I really would like to thank you for giving us so much. I think you definitely are going to be a gift to New York City. And definitely, if you can make it in New York, I promise you, you can make it anywhere, from my own personal experience.
Thanks for having me on your talk show. It was amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been wonderful. And now enjoy the rainy day in New York. And
I
sit
will.
Back and relax and listen to some music. And we will be looking forward to a wonderful, magical week.